I like that song. Yeah. You know, we're continuing our series, Jelly and Jam. We're jamming out to some jelly roll, and we're talking about what to do when you get in a jam. You know, by the grace of God, it is possible, despite whatever hurt or pain or brokenness that we bring, it is possible with God to overcome the challenges. You know, victory's possible with the hope and peace and love and grace and the power of God. You know, I'm not sure if you caught the Grammy Awards this past week, but Jelly Roll won 3 Grammys. Best Christian Contemporary Song, Best Country Duo Performance, and Best Contemporary Country Album of the Year, Beautifully Broken. You know, it's in his acceptance speech, he said, talking about Beautifully Broken, that he said there were days that he thought the darkest things and that he was a horrible human being. But he said Jesus changed all that. And I thought, wow, yeah. It's, Jesus changed all that. That's the kind of God we serve. And later, post-Grammy, he said that about his brokenness, that's what led him to write the album. One of the songs on the album was the song we just heard, Unpretty, you know. And I think that song resonates, you know, wherever you're at today, that it touches. He says, I hate the man I used to be, but he's always been a part of me. Right now, looking at my past, I know it's unpretty. Can't hide the pain that I've been through. I wear my scars like my tattoos. And friends, you and I, we wear our scars just like tattoos. You know, it has brought us to this moment. That thing that maybe haunts you, that thing that maybe you regret, that has caused you enormous pain or hurt, that thing that maybe left you broken inside and beaten up, that thing that Satan will whisper to hold you captive, that thing that you're thinking about right now, I want you to know God wants to turn that brokenness into something beautiful, something amazing. You know, Scripture says this, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. What a statement. What a statement. Kind of get us started this morning. I want to ask you, how would you introduce yourself? You know, for instance, I would say, I'm a Christian. I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather, pastor. I love to play basketball. I'm a Steeler fan, a Pirate fan, a Penguin fan. And my guess is you would introduce yourself in a similar way, right? You'd take that kind of path. But if I ask you to describe yourself, like in 3 words or less, what would you say? You know, I asked a few people that, and it was interesting, some of the responses. One person was like, well, shy, quiet, reserved. I had to drag every word out of them, you know. Another person I asked, they're like, talkative and outgoing and social and friendly. And then they gave me 5 or 6 more things. And when they finally come up for air, I go, so talkative? Yeah. Some people I talked to went a different direction, and they looked at life events. And so they were like, well, divorced, struggling, single parent. And then some just, I would say they went a bit deeper, and they threw the 3-word confined out, and they just started talking, you know. One of the guys I talked to, he described himself as someone struggling in life, that he'd made a lot of mistakes, and then he went on from there. In that moment of introspection, what do you say? What do you say? And the reason why I ask that is many times what we think about ourselves are the things that we need to overcome. Loser. Failure. Disappointed. Cheated. Worthless. Ugly. Fat. Crazy. You know, whatever. You may not say it, but we think that stuff. And we definitely feel that. You know, many times those labels, I believe, are very restrictive. In fact, I would argue that labels have a lot of power. And oftentimes, those things keep us from moving forward in life. I've shared this before, but I learned about labels. You know, at a very early age, I grew up in a generation where the cool kids had Levi's. My brother and I, tough skins. Yeah, how many of you remember those? Yeah, it was a gene. I mean, seriously overbuilt. The fact is, you would outgrow them way before the cursed things would wear out. And I'm not sure who designed them, but I'm pretty sure, if I was guessing, that it was a sinister group. You know, they were colorblind, they had failed out of fashion school, and they, in fact, couldn't cut it as a designer of tanks for the army or something like that. And these things were unleashed on millions of kids. And we were doomed to wear them. I mean, they were freakish colors. I mean, they were gene substitutes, and everybody knew it. They look at you and go, ugh, you know. And they were really just horrible. In the winter, they wouldn't crease. You know, you walked around like this, you know. Everywhere, you know, like, I felt like I was on the Wizard of Oz or something, you know. But I had nightmares about them. I needed counseling. I still do, probably. But no joke, for years, I would be in Sears, and I'd get close to the clothing section, and I'd be breaking out in a sweat, you know? It's like, ugh. And I remember the very first day I wore some to school, and they were green, okay? Kids called me Mr. Green Jeans. Never wore those jeans to school ever again. I mean, I was very creative as a kid, and I would take and throw them in the laundry every once in a while, so my mom thought I was wearing them, and they were in such good shape that finally I outgrew them. They handed them down to my brother, and I went in like I was bringing him a gift, and I go, here you go, you're welcome, Flint, or should I say Mr. Green Jeans, you know? Like, here's the thing, I got called that on and off throughout the entire year of school. And I'll be honest, I hated it. I hated the name. Now, wasn't a big deal, all right? And we have things that people say about us, not a big deal, you shake them off at some point. Some of you, you were fortunate enough to have a positive label. You know, maybe because you worked hard or you were successful at something, or maybe you were just in the right place at the right time. But here's the deal. Many of us carry these negative labels around. You know, and those labels, you internalize them at a point. They echo in your mind. It's who you see when you look at yourself. It's your label. I mean, maybe it's a feeling of being a failure or inadequate as a parent or spouse or Christian. You know, maybe it's a struggle with an addiction. I don't know what the label is that's holding you captive. But friends, what I'm very clear, we all have them. It's just whether we'll acknowledge it or not. And the problem is, eventually, if you carry a label long enough, it stops describing your past and it starts defining your future. Now, I was reading a research that was done with a group of students. They were all in the same class with the same teacher, the same teaching technique. The variable was that some of the kids were labeled in the class. And so some were labeled as being slow, and the students that were labeled that way, they showed a decrease in performance immediately. Think about that. Yet the child that was labeled advanced, you know, they in a different subject, that same kid, as soon as they found out they were advanced in something, they showed an increase in performance. There were no other changes other than someone whispered in their ear and said, "You're slow at this." So they became ultra slow. Someone said, "Oh no, wait, you're gifted here." And they started excelling. And a label can be very predictive and restrictive. So think about this. Let's say that I see myself as a failure. And I think, I'm a failure. I feel like a failure. You know, because maybe something that happened in school or at work or a relation. And so because I feel like a failure, I start restricting my life. You know, I'm afraid to step out. I'm afraid to try something new. Why? Because it might not work out. And it would confirm what I'm thinking. Oh, I am a failure. You know, maybe it's you see yourself as weak. Someone labeled you that way. And so consequently, you don't ask your spouse to treat you with respect because why? Well, I deserve it. I'm weak. I mean, why don't you ask? Because if you ask and they don't respect you, it reinforces and validates what you're already feeling, and ultimately you feel weak, and now because you took that step, you feel even weaker. And what I'm saying to you is labels are complex, but they're powerful. You know, the longer you wear a label, the less it is about your past and the more it's about your present and your future. Now, here's the good news today. You can overcome these labels. Not just get past them or deal with them. Friends, overcome them and have victory over them. You know, God will take those labels, that brokenness, and turn it into something beautiful. You know, the book of Mark, it tells a story about Jesus and a man who isn't really identified by name. And so what I want to do, because it makes it a lot easier to tell this story, we're going to call him Mitch, okay? There are no Mitches in the Bible, so don't go out there going, "Oh, we talked about Mitch today at church, you know, he's in the..." No, he doesn't. We don't know his name. But Mitch is paralyzed. He's unable to walk, and so he can't work. And I'm going to guess that he felt like a burden to his family in that day. His family may have abandoned him. That happened often. But he may have felt unwanted. We don't really know. But what we know is that he was totally dependent on other people to survive. And to top it off, in that day, there was this stigma that was attached around any kind of illness or disability that a person had, and it was assumed that your parents or you had sinned. That's messed up, okay? But that's how it was in that day. And so not only are you dealing with this disability, but now you get to carry another label, sinner. Mitch had been labeled. Now, fortunate, Mitch had some really good friends. And they were thinking, you know, we can't heal him. But if we get him to Jesus, maybe Jesus will do something. Now, anywhere Jesus traveled, there were crowds that would just gather. And so Mitch needed to get to Jesus. He couldn't do it on his own. His friends, they carry him, they put him on a mat, they carry him to where Jesus is, but it's so crowded, they can't get inside the house. That's where Jesus is teaching. And so these boys are creative. I don't know how they did it, but they got him up on the roof of the house. And from there, they start digging through the roof of the house. Now, it would have been like sod and, you know, different kinds of plants and stuff that they had covered the roof with, maybe hay, whatever. And so they're digging. They're going to lower him down through this. I'm thinking the homeowner, he's looking up going, honey, did you pay the insurance today? And I was like, uh-oh. And they dig, and they lower Mitch down to the ground right in front of Jesus. The whole crowd's watching this. And I am absolutely sure there's a point where Mitch becomes very self-conscious. I think he's thinking about all the labels that he's already carrying. He's carried them his whole life. He may have heard people whispering in the crowd, oh, it's Mitch. You know Mitch. Everybody in the room's looking at him. They can't wait to see what Jesus is going to do. It is a tense moment. Scripture says this, when Jesus saw their faith, saw whose faith? Their faith. That is surprising to me. You expect for the scriptures to say when Jesus saw his faith, Mitch's faith. But it says when Jesus saw their faith. It's Mitch's faith and the faith of his friends. They're looking down through the hole in the ceiling. It's their faith that Jesus sees. Their faith. Friends, the faith of the people around you matters. It matters. Your friends are either pulling you toward Jesus or away from Jesus. Mitch's friends decide if they can get their friend closer to Jesus, maybe something would happen. You know, I know a guy at the church here, and he was kind of hit and miss for several years. He'd kind of in and out. And then one day, God got a hold of him. And it changed his life. Now, you should know, his life had been a mess. He'd tell you this. In and out of trouble. But God started working in him. Changing him. One Sunday, I come in and I'm pretty intuitive, and I'm like, he looks like he's down. And so I went over and I go, is everything okay? And he said to me, he said, no, I'm struggling. He says, my friends are trying to pull me away from church and God. And he says, I don't need that. And then he asked me, he said, what should I do? That was easy. Get new friends. Get some Christian friends that can encourage you, people that will hold you accountable. And I helped him connect with a few guys in the church. He started serving, getting to know people, and connecting. See, it's why it's so, so important. I mean, he's building these new relationships. And friends, I will tell you, I've watched him grow. I've seen his faith grow. It's beautiful to behold. I think if he was up here today, he would tell you the faith of those around you matters. Why? Because they're either going to pull you toward Jesus or they're going to pull you away from Jesus. when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Mitch is laying there. He's got all these labels on him. He feels broken, unwanted, like he's a burden. And Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And something in me goes, "What?" You know, it almost seems like insensitive to me when I read it. I mean, Jesus, can't you see he's paralyzed? Can't you see he's not able to work? He's not able to get around. Jesus, you can see what he needs. But Jesus did know what Mitch needed. You see, he was able to look to something that we couldn't even see. He sees that Mitch needs not a new label in his life, but he needed something else. He needed a new identity. You know, some of you may be thinking, "Well, if I could just get past this label that stuck to me. You know, if I could just get a new label, you know, maybe I'd be okay. Maybe I could get closer to God. Maybe I could have a really good relationship with God if I could just get past this." You know, you may have come to church today and you're thinking, "You know, if people really knew who I am, what I struggle with, if they really knew where my marriage is or how I battle with my kids, if they really knew how messed up I am, I mean, they'd reject me. They would be disappointed in me." Friends, I hate the man I used to be. Always be a part of me. Right now, I look at my past. I know it's unpretty. I bring my brokenness, my scars, my labels, my struggles, my garbage, my sin. You bring it too, don't you? And friends, I will tell you, when you lay those things at the feet of Jesus, everything changes. Everything. I mean, what Jesus offered all of us on the cross was not a new label. He offered us a new identity. It's written right here. It's written on your soul. Child of God. Friends, there is a difference between a label and identity. A label, my guess is whatever label you got, it defines your past. An identity in Jesus defines your future. You know, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia, he's writing to all of us today. He says, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Paul uses what was the defining characteristics or labels in that day. And he's saying, that is not what defines you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what defines you is you are a child of God. You belong to God. So back to our story. Jesus forgives Mitch, forgives his sins. Religious leaders, the Pharisees, they come unhinged, okay? They start whispering. They're accusing Jesus of blasphemy, saying, you know, only God can forgive sins. How dare this man? How dare you, Jesus? It says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he says to them, why are you thinking these things? I love this. Is it easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Which is easier? Come on now. You know, which one? Really? You don't know? You gotta love this, don't you? It says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home. Mitch stood up, he rolled up his mat, he dropped the mic, you know, and he walked away. I mean, if it was a movie, at this point, the screen would kind of fade, the caption might read, and they all lived happily ever after, or something like that. Here's what Scripture actually says. It says he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. I've always wondered, many of the stories in Scripture, it makes me go, well, what else happened? You know, what else happened in Mitch's life? But the story closes. Mitch's life did not. I mean, maybe Mitch only lived one more day. Or maybe he lived 50 years. We do not know the answer to that. But I guarantee you, everywhere that Mitch went, people whispered, it's Mitch. You see him? Remember I told you about him one time. You know, he couldn't walk. He wasn't able to work. You know, he was dependent on everybody. You know, he used to beg outside the city. You remember seeing him at the main gate? That was him. All these labels that he had. People always whispering, talking. Some of you know what that's like, don't you? Because you carry the label, and people whisper. Oh, that's Kevin. You know, Kevin, he struggled with addiction. I'm thinking, why can't it just be Kevin? Hey, you know who she is? Yeah, she's the one. She wrecked her marriage, man. Blew it up. People whisper. People talk. Labels stick. And the scars, they remain, don't they? They hurt. We struggle with them. Can't hide the pain that I've been through. I wear my scars like tattoos. Person who I was wrong. Christ followers, remember this. He's the one that built you. He created you. He designed you. You know, we do not know Mitch's real name, but we know who healed him. I mean, we may not be clear on his name, but we are absolutely clear on the purpose that God had for him. You know, God wanted to use him to point other people to Jesus Christ. And friends, whatever is broken in you, God will use it. God designed you and created you for this moment. God will take your past and he'll use it to change somebody else's future if you let him. God is in the business of turning those labels into something beautiful. You know, maybe you walked in here today and you're like, I'm tired of being called a single parent. But it's the label that you carry, isn't it? And I want to encourage you. You may be a single parent. You may be this person that at times you feel overwhelmed. But friends, you are a complete picture of what it is like to fully rely on God. I've talked to too many through the years, and they'll say, you know, I wish money wasn't so tight. You know, wish I could give my kids more, but we're just trying to survive. And let me encourage you, if you're there today, you are passing on to your children the importance of trusting God instead of your bank account, and that is a far, far greater inheritance than anything you could give them. You know, you may be saying, well, I'm addicted, and I battle with this. God can use your past to grow you and to change you into somebody else in the future. And I do not know what is in your past, but I know God will use it. God always uses it, and he'll turn it into something beautiful, beautiful, and he will use you to make a difference. He's working in you and through you. You know, God is more concerned about who you are than anything you've done, period. You know, that voice that speaks, that voice that speaks, the truth is not the voice that's in your head. It's the voice of the one that created the universe and called it into existence. You know, the voice that speaks truth is not what other people say. It's what God says about you. We all have past, right? We all have these hurts and this brokenness. We wear them like a tattoo because it's a part of who we are. Those labels may describe your past. They may remind you of the pain and the scars, but they do not define your future. Never have, never will. You know who defines your future? Jesus Christ. Some of you are held, you're being held captive because of your past. You're paralyzed. You know, some of you, the label is holding you back. It is defining your future right now. Your past does not determine your future. Does not. Some of you need to hear this today. Jesus is whispering it. He's saying, get up, take your mat, and go home. See, Jesus has set you free from whatever that is. I would challenge you today to get up, take your mat, so to speak, and go home a different person. God wants to do something beautiful in your life. The world may tell you you're unpretty. Friends may even say it. They don't know what they're talking about. You're a child of God, fearfully, wonderfully made. Live that way. Live that way. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, all of us, we have something that's unpretty. I mean, we may not say it, but we feel it. We hear the whispers. That thing you're thinking about right now, just give to God. Say, I'm done carrying this. God, help us to live as your creation, a new creation. Give us the wisdom and the strength to reach toward the future you have for us. God, forgive us when we let our past hold us down. Because of Jesus, we've been set free, and we thank you for that, Lord. I pray as we leave this place that we'd recognize and live as a child of God, your child, Lord. We thank you for that. We give you the glory, the praise with all we say and do. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship. Prayer teams will be down front. You need prayer this morning, come down and let them pray for you. You know, let this be a new beginning. You know, just leave that thing at the feet of Jesus Christ and leave here. Take your mat. Don't take your chair. And go home and live anew. Live anew. Let's worship.